Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brooke. She invites you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts as we complete reading Samuel Hahnemann's Organon. Let's go!
Hi, I'm Debbie Brooke, and you are listening to Blog Talk Radio. And today is September 22nd, 2010, show number 98 of Who is Reading the Organon. And we have so many exciting things happening today that I am late getting started, and I don't know whether anybody has received a broadcast message out there, but we are live on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you to all the people who listen in every day, post comments on the chat, a comment on the blog, which is a follow-up to each show, and maybe even call in. So, this week is September 19th through 25th. It is Turn Off Week, and that means to turn off your computers, helping your kids to unplug and detach and get out there in the world instead of getting hooked on their computer games and other screens. And, you know, it's really true for everyone, even for adults, and we have to find a little bit of time for ourselves to get away and commune with nature. So the inspiration begins from the 14th Dalai Lama. The true essence of humankind is kindness. There are other qualities which come from education and knowledge, yet it is essential if one wishes to be a genuine human being and impart satisfying meaning to one's existence to have a good heart. And thank you to the Dalai Lama for that one. Mark Twain says, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it." It reminds me of Arnica for some reason, how I heard the story of the mountain climbers who, when they needed something to help their aching body, they used the arnica flower that bounced back after it was stepped upon. In addition, yesterday, September 21st, was Peace One Day. And you can check that out on www.peaceoneday.org. It's a day where they're hoping to create peace around the world. And no matter what you want to achieve, it seems like it takes the first step. It means starting for doing something for just one moment, just pausing in your day for 1 minute, and it builds to 1 hour, and then one full day, and 1 week, and 1 month, and eventually for a whole year. That's what I really think of when I think of hope. You have to start somewhere. The only problem with the Peace One Day in my mind is that I fear that this movement being carried out through the United Nations, they have a different agenda. They're maybe not informed about alternative practices, and they might be underwritten by profit-making organizations. Some of the work that they do is definitely worthy for helping those in need around the world, and it's valuable to provide these initiatives for young people and to give them hope. My concern specifically are the vaccination programs within the United Nations. How can we teach the world about homeopathy? How can we as homeopaths mark that day, September 21st, each year, which they are going to continue as an annual event. How can we be involved and committed to this day of peace? And I want you to take a look at that website just to see all the famous people who were involved in getting that message out. You can even watch their Peace One Day webcast on http://peaceoneday.theconcertchannel.eu. And so they are, Peace One Day is working to manifest an annual day of global unity, a day of intercultural cooperation on a scale that humanity has never known before. The next stepping stone, they say, on this journey is to reach 3 billion people with the message of Peace Day by the year 2012. And I ask you, as members of Homeopathy World Community and all of my friends out there in the social networks, what is it that we can do to mark this day? Okay. I'm going to continue on with some news for HWC proper, for the network. I want to remind everyone there is only 3 days left to upload your cured case so that it can be evaluated and be in the running for a fantastic Boninghausen pocketbook computer program. It's a brand new program developed, and you can contact Gary Weaver with any questions. And as they say, do it now and don't delay. It is time to get it in. The deadline is looming. It is just 3 days away. This is also your last chance in another 3 days to attend the Homeopathic Scientific Seminar. And all homeopaths are invited to attend this seminar with World Popular Homeopaths, organized by the Hahnemann College of Homeopathy in London. It will be held on Saturday, the 25th of September, 2010. There is a link on the events calendar on HWC. Mr. Charles Tankard Hahnemann, 7th generation grandson of Dr. Samuel Hahnemann and patron of Hahnemann College of Homeopathy, will be the chief guest. Guest speakers will include Mr. John Bennett of the USA in California, our wonderful videographer and spokesperson for homeopathy on HWC, Dr. S.S. Randhawa from London, and Dr. Jawahar Shah from Mumbai. There are many, many speakers and popular homeopaths will be at that event. And if you're in the area, do contact them and sign up. You have a few days left. This event is supported by the Homeopathic Medical Association in the United Kingdom. And there will be a one-day London tour planned for the overseas delegates on Sunday, September 26th. Take a look at Dr. Rajneesh Kumar Sharma's article on HWC, The General Rules for an Excellent and Thorough Physical Examination. So if you're in school, if you're studying, if you want to freshen up your exam skills, take a look at that. Dr. Dushyant has been very interested in reviving the old journal notes and paying tribute to some great homeopaths. In the forums, he has posted an image of DPT, the diphtheria pertussis tetanus, with a list of symptoms provided by David Workington. And he concludes, this is Dr. Dushyant concludes in the articles, that readers will notice that DPT may prove to be a valuable addition to our materia medica for fevers, febrile convulsions, seizures, SIDS, and diarrheas, especially when these are found with classic high-pitched, inconsolable crying. And there is a reference to the Quarterly Homeopathic Digest. Also, join the new group, which is called articles from old journals. There are already 23 members. As a taste of what's to come in that particular group, take a look at Phyllanthus neruyari and its therapeutic use in infective hepatitis. It is a remedy quite unused and unknown in homeopathy, but frequently used by traditional healers among the rural population of southern part of India. The common practice is that a decoction of plant is administered in jaundice, or a half ounce is rubbed up in a cup of milk and is given morning and evening, or the root or the dried small bitter herb leaves in powder are used in teaspoonful doses. As a matter of fact, Dr. Dushyanta said that he was given this preparation in childhood by his mother for jaundice. Boy, quite a few of our homeopaths on the network are giving their personal experiences lately. Inspired by this experience and a number of successful stories from the village healers, Dr. Dushyant decided to undertake the clinical trials with this drug in homeopathic potencies, and the authentic raw material was procured through the Survey and Medicinal Plant Unit of the CCRH, the Central Council for Research in Homeopathy, in 1981. And the medicines were prepared up to a 6X potency, according to HPI. Therefore, we're talking about kind of like a cell salt use of this remedy. And it has been successful in more than 200 patients of infective hepatitis. We have quite a few articles on the network recently dealing with hepatitis and jaundice. A companion reading is the Neonatal Jaundice and Homeopathy, posted by Dr. Rajneesh Kumar Sharma, and it contains a detailed listing of cellular structures and associated miasm with the indicated homeopathic remedies. What a difference a potency makes. Everything is turning yellow or orange. Dr. Dushyant has also posted another article, Debility After Jaundice with Picric Acids, 3C. And to tell you the truth, this is a personal note. Here's one of my favorite rubrics, which can be found as two of the mind symptoms in the repertory. One is mind reading desire for medical books. If I tell you there's five remedies listed, do you know which ones they are? Also, you can find it under mind, anxiety, hypochondriacal, mania to read medical books. Should I save the answer for the end of the show, or do you want to know right now? Anybody there listening? Give me a hint. Do you want to know the answer to that rubric? Okay, I'll tell you. It is Calcarea, Nux Vomica, Pulsatilla, Staphylococcus aureus, and Sulfur. Five Polycrests. Really top of the line remedies, covers everything, including reading medical books. Known as a respiratory remedy for asthma, there are many more symptoms. Oh, this is going back to approving of the Indian drug Thylophora indica, which was also done by the CCRH, an Indian Ayurvedic herb. This one is also called Thylophora asthma. It is a common named Indian. It's the common name for this plant is Indian Ipecacua in the family Asclepiaceae. Okay, I could go on and on about the fabulous articles, so I'm going to save some of the rest of them for tomorrow's show and go ahead with our reading. We were doing aphorisms 77, 78, 79, and 80. Talking about the diseases caused by avoidable noxious influences, that Hahnemann says those are not chronic if you're incurring an illness or symptoms in a place where you can just remove yourself or remove the symptom, the environment that's causing some toxicity to you, and just remove taking a medication or allopathic medicine that's causing side effects, or change your environment in some way or your lifestyle, and those symptoms will disappear. Aphorism number 78, A chronic disease is one that arises from a chronic miasm. And therefore, he does talk about sora and the fact that the vital force is in a weakened condition, and the only way it can heal is through the use of homeopathic doses. Aphorism number 79, he begins to mention syphilis and psychosis as the two of the three miasms, and that an individual is helpless to eradicate that their illness without the homeopathic assistance to prevent these growths on the skin and the dyscrasia, and that hidden beneath an outer appearance of good health during youth, there lies in waiting the miasm to appear in times of stress when the organism is stressed. For instance, when a young woman begins her menstruation or when there are dysfunctional families or something that is causing aggravation to the organism. Now we're going on to aphorism number 80, and I will begin to read. I also have a caller. Marilyn has joined me from Canada today, and thank you very much for calling in. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, everybody.
Hey, you can hear me. I hope the sound is okay.
Sound is great.
Okay.
Obviously, you can hear me as well.
I do. I just put my sound up a little bit. Now we're on to the Organon's aphorism number 80. Incalculably greater and more important than the two chronic miasms just named, which were the syphilis and the psychosis miasms, however, is the chronic miasm of sora, which, whilst those two reveal their specific internal dyscrasia, the one by the venereal canker, the other by the cauliflower-like growths, does also, after the completion of the internal infection of the whole organism, announced by a peculiar cutaneous eruption, sometimes consisting only of a few vesicles, accompanied by intolerable, voluptuous tickling, itching, and a peculiar odor, the monstrous internal chronic miasm, the sora, the only real fundamental cause and producer of all the other numerous, I may say innumerable, forms of disease, which under the names of nervous debility, hysteria, hypochondriasis, mania, melancholia, imbecility, madness, epilepsy and convulsions of all sorts, softening of the bones, rachitis, I don't know how to pronounce that one, rachitis, scoliosis and syphosis, caries, cancer, fungus hematodes, neoplasms, gout, hemorrhoids, jaundice, cyanosis, dropsy, amenorrhea, hemorrhage from the stomach, nose, lungs, bladder, and womb, of asthma and ulceration of the lungs, of impotence and barrenness, of megrim, deafness, cataract, amaurosis, urinary calculus, paralysis, defects of the senses, and pains of thousands of kinds, etc., figure in systemic works on pathology as peculiar independent diseases. My goodness, Marilyn, that is a huge long list, and that's why he calls it something like a thousand arms of disease. There is a footnote there. Mm-hmm. Do you have something to comment on that?
No, I was just going to say that's it. That's why he says it's the fundamental. You know, you without sora is where it all begins, right? And then on top of that, you get if you don't have the soric miasm, then you won't have the psychotic miasm and the syphilitic miasm. So sora is like the fundamental one.
So it has to build out of something.
It builds.
It begins
from
somewhere.
Yeah.
It builds from sora. Okay. So when we see it, we'll recognize it. And he has a footnote here. It says, this is Hahnemann speaking, I spent 12 years in investigating the source of this incredibly large number of chronic affections, in ascertaining and collecting certain proofs of this great truth, which had remained unknown to all former or contemporary observers, and in discovering at the same time the principal anti-soric remedies, which collectively are nearly a match for this thousand-headed monster of disease in all its different developments and forms. I have published my observations on this subject in the book entitled The Chronic Diseases, 4 volumes, Dresden Arnold, 2nd edition, Düsseldorf Schaub. Before I had obtained this knowledge, I could only teach how to treat the whole number of chronic diseases as isolated individual maladies. With those medicinal substances whose pure effects had been tested on healthy persons up to that period, so that every case of chronic disease was treated by my disciples according to the group of symptoms it presented, just like an idiopathic disease. And it was often so far cured that sick mankind rejoiced at the extensive remedial treasures already amassed by the new healing art. How much greater cause is there now for rejoicing that the desired goal has been so much more nearly attained, inasmuch as the recently discovered and far more specific homeopathic remedies for chronic affections arising from sora, properly termed anti-soric remedies, and the special instructions for their preparation and employment have been published. And from among them, the true physician can now select for his curative agents those whose medicinal symptoms correspond in the most similar homeopathic manner to the chronic disease he has to cure. And thus, by the employment of anti-soric medicines more suitable for this miasm, he is enabled to render more essential service and almost invariably to effect a perfect cure. Now, this is a time of rejoicing. He must have had the hugest aha moment of his life after 12 years of trying to figure out how to cure an individual, that they were getting really excellent results. They were getting excellent results, but they were not keeping them. In other words, perhaps the results would the illness might return, or after a while a remedy was not as effective as it was initially. And they were not grouping. They were using a particular method to select a remedy, and now they started to find another way to deal with this. So now Gary Weaver has posted a remark that says you do not need Sora to have the venereal infections. And this is really good to know, because in this previous aphorism, he was noting that the venereal disease was shown in syphilis and psychosis. And perhaps Gary can tell us a little bit more about that to explain how we would relate the venereal infections with not having sora. So he can enlighten us on that. Also, I was just reading this joyous moment that he must have experienced for ascertaining and collecting certain proofs of, he's calling it this great proof. So even he must have felt like he was in the dark about understanding certain things. And now when you go to the Materia Medica and you look up remedies, you might see a reference to a miasm, a certain miasm, and say, okay, I am listening to the patient speak, and I understand that they're dealing with certain struggles, certain obstacles in their life, whether it is some sort of being stuck at something or having a panic or feeling hopeless, whatever it is that they're dealing with in, on this emotional plane, it relates to a particular miasm. And here he's, and also the physical expression of the body is relating to a particular miasm. And here he's saying he's going to categorize and use certain remedies that relate to the psoric condition. And there are so many illnesses that he has listed here, the innumerable forms of this many-headed hydra. I'm thinking of a hydra or some kind of a, he's calling a monster. And I could also imagine it being the fact that there is a tree that has so many roots spread out that's reaching out and creating those types of forms, or a tree with all these different branches. That could be the head and the way it expresses itself in the different types of leaves. And those are just visualizations that you can imagine that the body is, each individual expresses the weakness of the vital force that is coming through that particular psoric miasm, whether it's in emotional hysteria or sadness and melancholy or madness or in epilepsy or convulsions. There are so many different ways, or the softening of the bones. Then you think of someone who has gout. Is it a psoric miasm? You can learn about this further with our readings. And here he's included jaundice, which was quite a bit of the articles that were noted at the beginning of the show, where you can see on particular articles there how it is related to the miasms. There are a few minutes left to the show today, and if there are no comments, okay, so Gary has posted a note. It is in the chronic diseases. Okay, so the chronic diseases is the book that Hahnemann wrote for us to further investigate and study all about the miasms. And if it, that book is not on your bookshelf, you should definitely have it there. And it will, it says that this is where he taught all about the chronic diseases. And the isolated, he, before he was prescribing his remedies based on knowledge before he came to this aha moment of the miasms. So now he, we as his disciples are able to understand it and study it and use this treasure chest of information. And so do get the chronic diseases book. There are only 2 minutes left, and I want to thank everyone so much for participating in the radio show, for listening, commenting, and putting your thinking caps on. Shall I leave you with any other words of wisdom? Let's see. A medicine is a substance with the ability to alter human health, and homeopathy and homeopathic remedies are definitely in that class. We do have the ability to affect and create healing and help a person heal through our medicinal substances, and Hahnemann is giving us the means to do that through his teachings, and we are his students. I'm going to close the show for today, and tomorrow we will begin with aphorism number 81. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopath Debbie Brooke on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.